well-known, familiar jazz classic, Body and Soul. Isn't that what it's all about? It's going to be about them cutting my body open, fixing the heart, the ticker, and revealing my soul. And my soul can either stay in my body or to go and be with God. Isn't that a wonderful adventure? This is PJ, your internet pastor. Thank you for coming to my website in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America. I was talking with a friend, I mean a best friend of mine, from across the country. I had to have harsh words with him because of my opinion of a man's life is not sheltered because of my connection with his soul. It is spoken freely. This is the way we were back in the olden days. We didn't play the BS games that people play when they're supposed to be your friends. You know how friends want to gather around you, especially if they're thinking that you're going to shovel off this mortal coil, if you get my drift. Most people I know in America are afraid to die. It proves that their religion is a failure. My religion and Christianity, you know me. I am a born again. In other words, I don't think like someone that has not been touched by a divine finger. I won't even say a hand. I'll say a finger, because I don't want to take up too much of God's time and his talent in this life. But how are you folk doing? Here it is, Monday, and Tuesday will be my final day before I go in for the surgery on Wednesday morning. Don't that piano sound good? I'm going to play some. Let me turn this up while I find who I'm going to play today, because I know who I want to hear now. I'll be back in a minute. All right. Hang around. Listen to that. Body and Soul, one of the most famous jazz numbers that have ever been recorded. Body and Soul, oh yeah, oh yeah. To that alto sax. If you don't like that, there's something wrong with you. That's all I got to say. Boy, that is fantastic. Good music, good music, good music. Joshua Redman on that sax also. And that is what was so beautiful about that number right there. My goodness. I'm going to wait for the next number, because I'm going to play something for you here. Let me go back to what I was saying. Listen, what do you base friendships on? You base friendship on the love that you have for the person in their heart. I past couple of days, and you guys know I'm always working my life experience off of the men that I spend time with in my life. That's where I work my life experience. We had a guest in the house, and he brought some women, some unscrupulous kind of women that I don't like in my house. I don't care for women that much anyhow, especially the ones that are not following after their man and acting like she got some sense. One came in and was giving me the rolling eyes. You should have seen that. Ooh, because I didn't lay my eyes on either of them. I just looked at them in their face and said hello. I didn't invite them. I got on the person that did invite him and said, don't ever invite a woman to my house unless I know it. You understand me? Well, I didn't. Yeah. Figure it out. See, we're living in a world where people think that they are off the hook because they proceed to think that they are innocent. When you are around me, you are guilty. I will be the one that will declare you to be innocent on my property. I don't have whorish women coming on my property, because when you have that and then you have whorish men coming on your property, you will have a brothel. And you know what happens in brothels, right? People start fighting, cutting, stabbing. I'm not losing my residency over someone's insanity. Listen to my dog out there. He keeps fussing with the Doberman pincers, and one's going to bite his little nose off. And I told him, so I'm not going to go out there and protect him. Oh my goodness, he's gonna have his hands filled while I'm in the hospital, isn't he? Because I won't be here to protect him. But look, you can love a friend, but love a friend at a distance if that friend's lifestyle is totally different from yours. I'm talking about, listen. If any black man is a pastor today in a church, and don't get me wrong, I understand most pastors are pastoring in, most pastors in the inner city that are in small churches are working jobs like the members of their church and struggling to try to keep that moral bar high. Instead of name-calling people, you know. When you get a church and you get a whole bunch of people in there, and they all think like you, dress like you, behave like you, eat the food you eat, listen to the music you listen to, that's a cult. But the church that God fosters is one that allows people to be free where they want to be. I don't like to be around friends of mine that are of a different modus operandi than I was as a pastor. I can go to school with you. I can eat a meal with you. I can smile and laugh. But under my breath, I'm saying, I need to get away from this person, because I see how this person lives, and I never lived that way as a pastor. I never did. I don't want to be around that. You know, I recall the big five here in L.A., Kenneth Omer, Fred Price, Charles Blake, Clarence McClendon, and who was the other one? And Noel Jones. When the big five had all their things going, a lot of people were listening to me on the radio and curious as to whether don't Pastor John want to be big like that? He has those young men working with him. Doesn't he want his ministry to go? Whose ministry to what? Can't no preacher grow up a ministry? Can't no person grow up a ministry? Well, John, you had the vet. No, the vet had me. And I didn't grow it up. God did. God brought those beautiful people. Most of them were visitors, because the members were just a bunch of handful of country people trying to hold on to the deed of a damn building. That's a crock of sickness. That's what that is. As far as I'm concerned, when you put a price on a building and you do something to try to get the deed of that building. That's why I've told you people, ask the people who owns the building at the church that you attend every Sunday. Who has the deed on that building? Who owns it? Because whomever owns the building owns the church and owns you and are using you. That is the manipulative, disgusting, distasteful way that Christianity has tainted America, and you have turned it into a money-making racket. That's what it is. Are you a pastor and you talking like that? I never did that. I gave most of the money that they gave me, and it was enough to keep food in my stomach and keep my body growing. That's all I needed. When I bought that Lexus that you saw a picture of on my website, that was from my wife's death money. As a matter of fact, that little life insurance policy, I had put about 10 grand away in an annuity or something like that. You know, when I would need it when I get older like this, I want an Lexus. And so I said, well, heck, I'm alive, so let me live. And I bought a used one. And it served me well until I couldn't afford to get it fixed anymore. So now I'm in the Mini Coupe. See, that goes along with the biblical text. In whatever state you find yourself with, therewith be content. You know, and wouldn't you expect that out of a pastor? That is why I am so upset with the American church, because I do not hear enough pastors speaking like this. I hear pastors speaking against pastors that are jealous of other pastors. I hear pastors speaking against other pastors because of their theological difference. And you know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say, well, if there is a Grace Community Church and you want to think like the people from Grace think, well, you are entitled to do that. But I don't think like that. I don't listen to one man's opinion about another man and then, without me making up my mind myself based upon the knowledge that I have, I don't castigate judgment on that man. I've always found that difficult to do. When preachers had me in meetings with them, they tried to coerce me into that kind of behavior. It never worked with me. It never worked with me. Well, listen, I'm not going to talk about me. You guys want to hear some music, right? Let's hear some church music. Not exactly church music. A ballad sung by one of the most beautiful ballad singers in all of African American history, and a pianist that came out of the church and blew our minds with this magnificent talent. Les McCann and Lou Rawls.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong get more.
Listen.
While the weak ones fade,
they fade away.
Empty pockets don't, they don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, your papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
to sing that, boy. Listen, listen. Hey.
When you've got money,
where your friends at?
You've got lots of friends.
Sure you do. Hanging around.
They're all hanging around your door.
Oh, Lou, you know some of the same people I know, man. My goodness.
But when money is gone.
Well, and it does run out, bro.
All the spending ends.
Yeah, what happens? Listen, listen.
They just don't come around.
Come around anymore. Rich
relation.
Yes.
A crust of bread and such.
That's right. Listen, 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 listen.
You can help yourself.
Uh-huh.
But you better not take too
much.
Mama may have.
Listen, here it is.
Papa may have.
But God, but what? Listen, listen.
God bless the child. That's got his own. That's got his own. When you've got money,
you got a lot of friends.
You've got lots of friends.
They're just hanging.
They're all hanging around your door.
Get away from my front door, man. I told you about that.
When
oops, so and Kareem.
All of the good times in.
All right, do it.
They just don't come around anymore.
That's been my story with a young brother.
Rich relations give.
Yes.
A crust of bread and such. You can help yourself.
Uh-huh.
But you better not take too much. Your mama may have. Ooh, papa may have. But God bless the child that's got his own.
Listen to that.
God bless the child that's got his own.
Lou Rose, vocal. Les McCann on the piano. Oh, yeah. God bless the child that's got his own. Thank you. We're going to be hearing more music. As a matter of fact, the next cut that I'm going to hear from this album is a real nice one. I want to dedicate it to my life. And it's by a number written by Ann Ronell so many years ago. Some of you, especially you millennials, have probably never heard this number. And it's one of the greatest numbers that Lou Rawls has ever sung, especially when he sings along that great pianist Les McCann. And you understand why I like nice things when you hear them sing a song about my life. Willow, weep for me. See, I would rather not have a bunch of church folk professing Christians weep for me, because there's nothing to weep about. I rejoice. I was speaking to my daughters. I spoke with them a number of years ago. And I said, you know, I want to be celebrated. In other words, I remember when John said this to me and I laughed so much I could barely stand up. I remember when Professor Coleman gave me a B, and I thought I deserved an A, and after I spoke with them 20 minutes after class, I was settling my heart with the B. That's how you celebrate me. Remember the lessons in life that we had. Whether you a close friend or not a close friend. Note this now, that I'm embarking on this journey on my life. And wouldn't it be great to look back 30 webcasts after this date to listen to this? 30 days from now, and I'm sitting in the studio and says, you know what? I'm breathing fine. I'm going to jump on my bike and ride downtown and all that stuff. Wouldn't it be good to go back there? But what if it doesn't? I got up this morning, had a rough night, Got up this morning, and the sun was shining bright in Los Angeles. It's still nice outside. So I immediately went to the patio room and closed my Roman curtains and stripped down to my underwear, basically, my T-shirt and my underpants in the sun. I just let the sun bake me. I had on a pair of sunglasses, and it was like I was in a hotel on the Riviera somewhere, and I had on my television, my music station, music from the 60s. And every single number played by a white group, a black group, an Hispanic group, sung by a woman or by a man, I recalled it, and I was singing alone in my backyard with the records for well over an hour. And it rested my heart and brought tremendous joy to my mind. And it was there when I said to God, ah, what a great life I've lived. And I'd pray. If I would pray, I'd say, Lord, please give these millennials an opportunity to go through decades like I did, to relish off of some of the sweet things in life. Some of the sweet things in life. Ah, yes, yes. Oh, it's wonderful. And one might say, oh, that's Les McCann. I gotta shut up.
Is green along the stream that runs to sea. Listen to my plea. Listen, willow and weep for me. Gone, my lover's dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that lovely summer dream gone and left me here to weep my tears into the stream.
You better sing it.
Now I'm sad as I can be.
Yeah.
Won't you hear me, willow and weep for me? Whisper to the wind to say that love has sinned, to leave my heart breaking and making a moan. Murmur to the night to hide her starry light.
Yeah, yeah.
So none will find me sighing, crying all alone. Sympathy. Oh, just bend your branches down along the ground. Ooh, cover me when the shadows fall. Won't you bend, oh willow, and weep?
Now, play less. Play less. Who today sings like this with this kind of a group? Who do you know that got names like this that go around the country singing like this to stage audiences, little settings? That's what made this so beautiful. Listen to it. Come on, boys. Come on. You don't need a big stage. You don't need all those people. No, you don't. All you need, listen to him. I'm telling you, flow with that. Yeah. Ah, and I love it because it got that church bounce in it. See? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That
That's it.
Sing it, Lou.
When the shadows fall, won't you bend a willow and weep?
Lou Rawls, Les McCann, Willow, weep for me. I told you. Most of you have never heard anything like that. This is... Oh, my. God, let me tell you guys something. That's where I learned how to sing in the choir. That's where I learned, man, how to breathe. Did you hear how he ended up? You was waiting for the four of me. No, this is jazz. This is the soul of the black man singing. Lou Rawls was And you know what's funny? I never seen him in person. I never saw him in person. Les McCann, I've seen in person. Les McCann, Lou Rawls, from a delightful album called Lou Rawls Stormy Monday with the Les McCann Limited. And it's just the thing that made for good music back in the day. Let's see when this album was recorded. Some of you may want to know that. Oh, here we are. Oh, yeah, I was 18 years old. Matter of fact, between February 5th and the 12th. And I remember my 18th-year-old birthday in 1962, the year that I graduated from Fremont High School, is when they made this, because I recall the first time I heard it on jazz radio from I forget what the station was called, but it was in Long Beach, and I said, oh my gosh, that is so nice, because my friend Beaver played the piano and I was a crooner, and so that's what I was thinking about doing. But before I could get that into my mind and to perfect that, because I've always loved kind of a trio thing, piano, bass, little set of drums, and a singer. It would work. Mellow, nice stuff. Uppity, uppity, uppity jazz music. And it's just like the air that's around today with the hip-hop crew and the poetry crew and all of that. Because everybody likes their different genre of music. And let me say this. It has nothing to do with you being a Christian or not being a Christian. It has something to do with if you appreciate the arts. That's about the only thing that it has anything to do with. Do you appreciate the arts enough to acknowledge such? I do. I appreciate the arts like that. Well, anyhow, what do? You know, you get folk want to come by and see me. And this is Monday night. And so I'd like to give that for Tuesday. For those who want to come by and wish me well, fine. Please don't come by here crying and all that kind of stuff. If you want to do something for me, if Lord wills that I come home, I need fruit juices stored up because I'm going to be learning how to walk with these new pipes on my heart. And I'm kind of excited about that. Again, I'll tell you, you will know whether I survived the surgery within a week or 10 days. I should. And I just paid today my website bill so that they won't cut me off. But if I don't lose my mind and everything remains intact the way it is, you will be hearing from me as soon as I return home. And because I'm not going to just be sitting around saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? My expectations, I'll tell you. All right. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to recovery and get well and go back to teaching a little bit more philosophy. I was going to write a book on love, but when I see what the Syrian government is doing to their own people, my book on love and what it means nothing. You know, sometimes I fall into these pits of depression and can't see why I tried to do anything nice towards anybody because people are just so unseemly to each other. I'm going to have to search the internet and find out why did that young black man, but they said that he got on drugs up in Upper Michigan State University somewhere like that, and he killed his, he killed his parents in the college. He shot them. What have we done? What have we done? Where do we lose our children? Where? I mean, I saw the picture of the parents and a picture of him, wholesome. This boy didn't have no tattoos all over him, scars, and why? If these drugs are doing that, and he went away to school. You know what I heard somebody stupid say about that kid? They said, well, that's what happens when you send a black boy to a school like that. There's too much pressure on him, and he couldn't take it, and he blew his top. No, stop it. Stop it. Only something out of an ignorant pit would say something like that. I don't know what the cause of it was, but, man, they ought to do a special on that and put that on 2020. We're losing our children. I saw something that was on the news about a man that lost his son to this opioid epidemic. He was a college student, too. And, you know, the man said he never saw it. Never saw it coming in him. Didn't know. Because what they do is they go out with their friends. They go out with their friends and they can't have enough fun just having fun. I went to pay my phone bill today, and when I went in, the employee said, can I help you? I said, no, I'm just going over here to pay my bill on the machine. It's okay. And he said, well, how come you don't want me to help you? I said, what are you talking about? He said, why can't we have an interactiveness? And I said, okay, I'll pass up the automated machine, and I'll give you my number and let you take my payment. And I'm kind of glad I did, because when I did it, I saw this other charge on there, and I didn't want to pay that charge, and I had a chance to speak with them about it. And so you gain so much more when you talk with people. And the same is true in every aspect, in relationship between husbands and wives, friends. But I've changed. Let me share with you. And I'm gonna set up because I like all kinds of artists, and I had a few lined up that I wanted to share with you tonight on this webcast. And I do hope you guys like listening to my choice of music and why I love the choice of music. See, I forgot. I lost my train of thought. So since I lost my train of thought, I was not supposed to play it in the first place. I want to play this song by David Benoit. David Benoit is a local DJ here on K-Jazz 88.1 FM in Los Angeles. And I recall when he first came to the station, it was very unique. He would come in and he would play the piano and play his themes and everything. And it was kind of nice. And David's still going around the country doing concerts, picking up money. He'll always pick it up because he's such a dynamic, modern piano player. Let's just listen to the first cut on the album. And you know it when you first hear it because it's a well-known tune. Drive Time. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, I was away from the mic. How about that? How about that? I don't want the next number to play. That was David Benoit. Drive Time. Drive Time. It always been one of my favorite songs. I like the razzy beat. Someone just sent me a great email and told me to watch this video. I was setting up this video, and this guy has been telling people that he's been trying to tell people what the color of Jesus really was and all of that. So I'm interested in watching that. David Benoit, very interesting pianist. So you see how it is. I have some more, other people that are coming by to see me today. And so I'm going to have to cut this webcast a little short. Now, tomorrow is Tuesday. That will probably be the last webcast that you will hear from me in a number of days. And I'm just going to talk about it at the end of this and then a little bit on the beginning of the other one. And so that you will know exactly to what degree that is happening. So thank you so much for being so loving and so kind. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to end up with one more tune by David Benoit as I fade out, because I hear the people coming in, and my life is always so full of activity with people all around me. I don't know why they like me. I am obtuse. I am crazy. I'm out of my mind, right? That's the way that is, yeah, right? Okay, so I'm just going to let you listen to David take us out with a little bit of... I was going to play... Wait a minute, why don't I... No, I'll leave, I got company. I don't want to do that. I'll be nice. God bless. Talk to you soon. No, I can't, because I'm waiting on Mike.